And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Cremery. Juneau residents will have to hold off on North Douglas bonfires for a couple of days. A rock slide has closed the road past the boat launch. One lane on the North Douglas Highway is open for emergency vehicles, but it's closed to the public. Alaska Department of Transportation spokesperson Sam Dapsevich says he doesn't yet know when it will be safe to reopen the road. He says the start of the slide was at around 500 feet of elevation.
When material comes loose from that height, it builds up quite a bit of speed by the time it gets down to the road. So we're keeping the road closed at this time.
Dapsevich says a geologist will investigate the start of the slide to see if more rocks could fall down. They also want to get a drone up there to look around, but they won't be able to do that until the winds die down. It's the second rock slide on North Douglas in the past week, both in the same spot on the highway. Dapsevich says DOT was able to clear debris and open the road a day after the first slide, but the second rock slide was bigger.
This time the rocks actually made it all the way across the roadway. Some of them even made it down into the water nearby, and some of the boulders, I'm told, are the size of cars.
No people were hurt and no cars were hit in either slide. Dapsevich says people shouldn't try and climb around the slide because they aren't sure how dangerous it is or if more rocks could fall. The city and borough of Juneau's emergency manager, Tom Matisse, says the melting and freezing of water this time of year can make rock slide conditions worse.
And that water melting and freezing and melting and freezing acts like a jackhammer on the rock, and it slowly breaks it apart.
Matisse says that once there's been a rock slide in an area, it will be unstable for a while. So even after the road is clear, people shouldn't linger under the area anytime soon. The overseas voting period for the national election in the Philippines began Sunday. There are nearly 30,000 Filipinos in Alaska, close to the population of Juneau. Many will be voting in this upcoming election. Alaska's honorary consul for the Philippines, Rebecca Carrillo, has helped them register to vote. This story is part of KTO's America Amplified initiative.
Consul Carrillo was sworn in as the Philippine Honorary Consul for Alaska in the fall of 2020.
My role is an extension of the work that the Philippine Consulate General in San Francisco does.
She helps people fill out forms and answer questions about reacquiring citizenship, renewing passports, and more.
There are a number of Filipinos who were unable to go to the Philippines or unable to travel to the Philippine consulate for their consular needs. So there are a lot of inquiries. There's a lot of angst about the restrictions, the travel protocols.
She does this all for free. It was supposed to be part-time.
But since the position has been vacant for few years before I assumed office, so to speak, and we were in the thick of the pandemic, it has become actually a full-time position in some instances, more than that.
But she says that the work is fulfilling, especially in a place like Alaska.
And many of the Filipino population are in areas where they have very limited resources, limited access to support, where they can't just drive someplace to get help.
And while Carrillo doesn't have specific numbers on how many Filipinos she has served in this role, she says that when the Consulate General came to Juneau last summer, over 650 people came to receive services. And that was in just 2 days. One service the honorary consul offers is help with overseas voter registration. Citizens who live and work outside of the Philippines are known as OFWs, or Overseas Filipino Workers.
There's me, for example, I'm a U.S. immigrant, and I'm a U.S. citizen and a Filipino citizen as well. So I'm an overseas Filipino citizen, but there are these OFWs who are in a foreign country with temporary visas to work. And there are millions of them.
Nearly 200,000 overseas Filipinos in the United States are expected to vote. And Carrillo says overseas voters hold a lot of power in this election.
They can influence the choice of their family back home just because they are, you know, their breadwinners.
She says this election is particularly important and people feel motivated to vote.
We're emerging from a 2-year pandemic. People are anxious about going home to the Philippines. People are anxious about how the political landscape is changing. There's a desire to participate.
This year's election decides the presidency, as well as a dozen Senate seats, 300 lower house seats, and nearly 20,000 local positions. There are nearly 1.8 million OFWs, according to the Philippine Statistic Authority. The overseas voting period began Sunday and concludes May 9th. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Krumrie.
Again, this story is part of the America Amplified Initiative, a national public media collaboration to better represent the communities that we cover. In other news, Alaska lawmakers are considering a bill that would expand testing and regulations for trace amounts of PFAS chemicals in groundwater. These chemicals have been linked to cancer and other serious health conditions. Juneau Democratic Senator Jesse Keel has sponsored legislation that would police 7 varieties of the so-called forever chemicals. They don't break down and often enter the environment from firefighting foams used at airports.
These things are bad for people in extremely small amounts. We're talking about parts per trillion in your drinking water.
State regulators in 2018 began policing 6 varieties of PFAS in the final days of Governor Bill Walker's administration. The incoming Dunleavy administration watered down those regulations the following year. They now mirror federal standards and apply to 2 of the most common varieties of PFAS. Senate Bill 121 would expand action levels to 7 varieties and lower the threshold of what are considered acceptable levels of PFAS. The upshot would be more households and businesses with PFAS in their drinking water could be eligible to receive alternative sources of drinking water from the state. Keel told the Senate Finance Committee on Tuesday that the bill would also heavily restrict the use of the most common contamination source in Alaska, PFAS-laced firefighting foams, except in certain cases.
The bill has an exception for those in the oil and gas business until an alternate firefighting substance is found.
Yakutat Borough Manager John Erickson testified in support of the PFAS bill. He says his southeast community has PFAS contamination in wells near the state-owned airport.
There aren't a lot of houses out there, but there is the airport where we get about 20% of our sales tax revenue, and there are a number of other businesses out there, and they are all using PFAS at this time. DOT saw the problem, and so they send in cases of bottled water so that the restaurants can still operate.
He says extending municipal water in the area that's not PFAS contaminated would cost the community of 600 people at least $6 million, according to estimates from state officials. A companion bill in the House was introduced last year, but it's unclear when either chamber would vote to establish the new PFAS standards into law. Additionally, if passed, the law would give state regulators the authority to make the standards more stringent. But they could not relax the action levels to less than the outlined in the bill. What's the minimum level of service acceptable for the state's marine highway system? That's a fundamental question a new ferry oversight board could be grappling with this year. The legislature last year created the Alaska Marine Highway Operations Board to make recommendations on the direction of the state ferry system. It held its first meeting in February. The board is tasked with providing input on a short range of plans for vessels, docks, and terminals, updated annually, along with a longer and more comprehensive document that steers decisions in decades to come. Board Chair Shirley Marcourt, a top ferry official under Governor Bill Walker, said the system needed to make decisions well before the long-term plan is complete.
I guess I would just want to be sure that the development of this plan, which is going to happen whether we like it or not, doesn't stop the Alaska Marine Highway System from making needed changes and being able to present those changes to the legislature, to the administration.
That longer-term planning process could take 1 to 2 years or more, and it could address which ports to serve, types of new vessels to build, and how to operate the passenger and vehicle services over thousands of miles of Alaska's coastline. But it can also include more immediate decisions on retiring aging vessels and or making repairs. As for the weather, it's another sunny and windy day here in Juneau. Tonight is expected to be clear as well, with a low of 25. Northeast winds are about 30 miles an hour, with some gusts up to 40 miles an hour. This is expected to calm down a bit tonight to 25-mile-an-hour winds in downtown and Douglas, and should be even slower tomorrow. From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumrie.